God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the book of Jonah, and our Bible class is also picking up the same theme. Today, we get to the section of Scripture where Jonah gets on the boat, and there's a large storm, from Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 16. The title of today's message is God's Attention Getter. I will admit, sometimes we get a little distracted in life, and so God does need to get our attention. And actually, in one essence, that's the way he created us. How many of you have ever experienced pain? Hope and trust all of you have. Hopefully, not for long. But typically, when that pain comes in our lives, that's sort of an attention getter. A part of our body is in pain. It's in, maybe in turmoil. It may need some sort of attention. Maybe it's as simple as you got a rock in your shoe, or maybe a broken bone. Or more serious, maybe there's something going on inside that definitely requires medical attention. Well, God sometimes, in the midst of our busy lives, really needs to get our attention. And it's more than just say, hey, come to church on Sunday and let me feed you with my own body and blood with this bread and wine and give you my word to strengthen you. Because sometimes in the busyness of our lives, we don't necessarily pay attention to that same message. I will admit I'm sort of guilty of this as I sometimes hear the message over and over again. I begin to be immune to it. So if my wife says, David, take out the trash, I may not have heard that message because the word sound seems so repetitive. At least that's my excuse. But God has a way of getting our attention that's more than just take out the trash. His way of getting our attention, at least for Jonah, is very direct with Jonah's own life. So first of all, the background. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell them about God's grace and mercy. Jonah basically says, no, I'm going to go the opposite way. And now we have Jonah booking passage on a ship and now is on at sail at sea. And God causes a great wind. Now, please note the scriptures are very, very clear here. It is God who is causing the wind for God's purpose. This is God's attention getter because with this great wind, the ship is in a very perilous situation. The sailors, the mariners were afraid. And now they're all crying out to their respective God, asking for help. No help comes. They start lightening the load of the boat, so to speak, and still there is no relief. Where is the man of God at this particular point? The one who is God is trying to get his attention? Jonah is in the middle of the ship, asleep. Why is he doing so? Martin Luther brings out a very interesting way, if you take a look at your insert, the last paragraph. The sea grew more and more tempestuous, that is, the sea did not cease seething. I like Luther's way of describing it. But the storm was becoming increasingly severe, and so, since the Lord was not subduing the storm, Jonah wanted to provide a cure for this misfortune by his own death. Surely this was a great sin on the part of the prophet. Basically, Jonah is now so depressed. Luther brings up he was even kind of suicidal. He was trying to withdraw from God, and he knew that God's hand was upon him. And so he finally comes up with an answer for the sailors. Toss me into the sea, and your problems will be solved. In one essence, just hasten my death, and God will be done with it. However, that was not God's will. God does not desire the death of anyone. Just the opposite. God, in the midst of great tragedy, works miracles. The great tragedy here of the storm, in which the sailors are now afraid and are willing even to toss Jonah overboard, and at the end of our text, they do, may cause us some trouble. what kind of God do we have that works through tragedy? What kind of God do we have that is trying to get our attention and does so through tragedy? Because if God is trying to capture your attention, what's the best way for God to do that? We may like more of a positive way. We might say, okay, Lord, just toss $1 million down in my lap, and then I will believe and know you are really God. But will that really capture our attention? There are many people who think so. There are many people who think that we have a God who does indeed bless, fair enough, but a God who works only through prosperity. This is not necessarily true. We have a God who does bless. I don't want to take anything away from God. He is the one who created the heavens and the universe. But our God is so powerful, he can even work through tragedy, as he does here. He works through this tragic event to capture Jonah's attention, to remind Jonah who God is, and to remind Jonah who he is. But I will admit, we might like the pleasant ending better. We might like the $1 million. We might like the prosperity. And fair enough, wouldn't we want that prosperity for us and for our family and for our country? Amen. But God says, yes, I will bless, but I will also bless through tragedy. And this is the way that God works. God, who works through tragedy, takes Jonah and has the sailors toss him overboard. In doing so, the sea is now at rest, as the end of our text says. And now the sailors see the glory and magnitude of God. More about the sailors' reaction for a moment. Now let's take a look at God's reaction. God took a sinner, Jonah, who's being a little disobedient, even though he was called by God, and had him tossed overboard. A similar parallel takes place with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice what happens when God takes on flesh and blood and lives among us. God is now bound. The Almighty, all-powerful God who was not limited to time nor space, is now limited to human form, and now has to suffer and die, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. He dies on the cross so that sinners can trust in his death and resurrection and have forgiveness of sins. So here we have the innocent dying for the guilty, and the guilty being set free. God does work through tragedy and has a very ironic sense of humor. So also in Jonah. Jonah, of course, brought this tragedy upon himself, but notice the sailors' reaction here. Jonah was not going to tell the sailors about the good news of God. I don't know why. It probably was part of the depression. Because if you would ask me, you may see me in social gatherings. And yes, I'd like to talk about Chicago. I like to talk about sports. But if you really want to get me talking in social gatherings, just bring up anything that has to do with religion or Christianity or who Christ is. Then, as you probably all know, once the pastor starts talking, it's hard to shut him up. Jonah, however, in the midst of the sailors praying to their own God for relief from this tragedy, kept quiet, kept asleep. His prejudice still filling him, still seething, did not want to tell the gospel message to those in need, including himself, until finally they press upon him. They drew lots, sort of by chance, and the lot fell to Jonah. They knew that Jonah was now the culprit, and so they now inquire of him, who are you, where are you from, why is this happening? And he tells them. He's running away from the Almighty God, the Creator God, the one who created the land and the sea. The sailors, who you could say were very good pagans at the moment, now had a new fear for a deity, the deity that called Jonah. And in their fear of the deity, they said, basically, what should we do? Jonah then tells them, toss me overboard. But in the midst of all this, they first try their second effort, so to speak, of getting to shore, which failed. And then they finally consented. But please notice, before they consent to tell Jonah to go walk the plank, so to speak, they do what? They pray to Jonah's God. In the midst of tragedy, when the prophet wants to keep his mouth silent, God is still going to get that gospel message through. The nations are watching. When Christians also are in the midst of tragedy, when tragedy comes into our life, the pagans are still watching, and they're still asking, will your God deliver you through whatever tragedy you might be going through at the moment? And the answer, the same with Jonah, is yes. It may not have been the answer we were hoping for. It may not have been the deliverance that we were hoping for. Remember, our hearts also can be hardened. Our lips might also be shut silent. Our ears may be turned off. And God needs to get our attention. And he does so with Jonah through death. The death is yet to come. It comes in the next chapter, so to speak. More about that next week. Jonah is tossed into the sea, and now things are quiet. The sailors, after invoking Jonah's God, now do something else. Out of fear and respect for Jonah's God, they now do what? Offer sacrifices and exchange vows. Making vows, saying that Jonah's God will be their God and they will be Jonah's, or they will be God's people. That same thing that Jonah was. So afraid to do, to share God's mercy and forgiveness, is done as Jonah goes through this traumatic event. How often does this also play out in our own lives? As people see how you react, will your God save you? Do you truly believe that God can and does work through traumatic events? Or do you sit there and say, if I am not being prospered by my God, then my God doesn't exist? We live in a world where many people want that type of prosperous theology. And fair enough, who doesn't want more blessings? But the ironic part here is not only can God bless, but God can continue to bless even through our darkest, deepest moments of life. And the pagans are watching. Will your God deliver you? God is getting your attention. The answer is yes. We have to realize what God is looking for in each and every one of us and in Jonah. A change of heart. We will sing about this during our offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That will come for Jonah. He has to experience death first. That's next week. For us, we also come before our God. And we say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I also realize my sinfulness, and I need your forgiveness. Does God work through tragedy? Can God work when we sin and we are disobedient? The answer is yes. When we return to him for help, for support, there is love and there is forgiveness. Yes, God works through even our tragedy. So we have to ask, is God seeking your attention today? The answer is yes. We hope and pray it's not such to the same magnitude that Jonah was experiencing, but yet God desires each and every one of us. He desires our attention. He desires our fear. He desires us to come to him. And he touches our lives through his word, through his sacrament, Christ's own body and blood, now confined again with bread and wine, for your benefit. Why was the storm sent? Why was Jonah finally tossed into the sea? For Jonah's benefit. God's great attention getter is tragedy. And can God take this tragedy for His glory and use it to His purpose? The answer is yes. It may be a little tough to swallow. That again comes next week. But we pray and trust, and we know God is in control. He is the one who sacrificed His own Son, a great tragedy, so that we could live. He is the one who gives us His Word, even in the midst of our disobedience, so that we can live. He is the one that tries to get our attention when we start walking away, so that we can live. We thank and praise God that He is an attention getter. And we ask the Lord to continue to keep us through His Holy Spirit in His grace, so that we will not fall away, but be reassured that when we sin and when we become a little disobedient, God does not want to let us go either, but continues to use the events of our lives to draw us back into a closer relationship with Him. This is all made possible because it was God who first takes on human flesh, first dies on the cross, first forgives our sins, so that we may have life in His name. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.